This is KUT
Austin.
Stop.
This is KUT. I'm Jennifer Staten. Animal migration doors being installed in the border wall. That's a news headline from social media. Is it true? The border wall has been in the news a lot, and there have been concerns about how the wall could impact wildlife and vegetation. But are animal migration doors being installed in it? Most people think that, of course, they would be able to discern fake news from real news on social media platforms like Facebook. But a study from the Macomb School of Business at the University of Texas at Austin shows we're actually pretty bad at telling the difference. Tricia Moravec is Assistant Professor of Information Management at the Macomb School of Business. She and researchers from the University of Hawaii and Indiana University did a study they called Fake News on Social Media. People believe what they want to believe when it makes no sense at all. That title alone gives a sense of just how bad they found people to be at detecting fake news headlines. I asked Moravec what questions they set out to explore when they originally ran the study. Oh, and by the way, the animal migration doors being installed in the border wall, that's fake news.
There were three questions. It wasn't just one. The first question was, can people detect fake news on social media? The second question was, does the disputed flag that Facebook had debuted at that time, did that work to help people be more skeptical of the articles that had that disputed flag on it? And the third question was, what's going on cognitively as people are presented with fake news and then also presented with this warning flag? And so we studied that using electroencephalography, or EEG, which is where we put a headset on their head and measured their cognition.
In order to answer those three questions, then what kind of study did you set up? What did you all actually do?
So it was a behavioral experiment in a lab. And what we would do is we'd have one person come in at a time, since we only have one EEG headset. And what would happen is they'd go through some demographic questions first to understand who they are and what their beliefs are and their background. And then they'd get set up with the headset on so we could measure their cognition. And then they went through 50 different headlines that were either verifiably true or false at the time based on the news that was out. A random sample of 20 of those were flagged, because of those 50 headlines that they saw, 20 were verifiably true, 20 were verifiably false, and then 10 were intended to be controls that were clearly true. And so those clearly true headlines did not have the flag on them, but the 40 true or false, those randomly had the flag assigned.
What were some of the not true news headlines that you all used in the study?
Some of them that I think were silly and untrue were something like animal migration doors being installed in the border wall. And then there were some that were very tricky. And even when we were getting some of the material together for creating this Medium post or different things like that, I was giving people a list of true and false headlines. And then I didn't tell them which ones were true or false. And of the three headlines that was being written up in this, and the people writing this guessed whether they were true or false, they were wrong on two out of three. So it's very difficult to actually assess a lot of these. And I think for me, I'm not the best judge of these headlines anymore because I'm too close to them and I've looked them up too much. So another one that was true was that most doctors didn't want the Affordable Care Act repealed. They wanted that to stay. But a lot of people didn't actually know that at the time, and they didn't know how the doctors felt. So it's kind of questions like that are just very, it's not clear what's going on. But the problem is, and some people would say that that's an issue with the study, but since these were all based in actual headlines in the news, it should be clear to everyone that that's the problem. The main problem here is that it is hard to detect, and we're not as good at it as we think because of that simple fact that they're often not blatantly false.
Well, and Lewin, you mentioned such as most doctors don't want the Affordable Care Act repealed. It's got elements of things that we've heard and we think we've heard.
Right.
And then when you bring them together in either a really false way, really true way, then we start thinking, oh, wait, mm-hmm. maybe I did hear that somewhere right. because Affordable Care Act, doctors repeal. Yeah, I've been hearing about that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, exactly. It's difficult because also separate research has found that the more we see a headline or the more we hear it, the more we believe it, even if the context we were hearing it in was saying that it was false. So it's just the fact that now it's more easy to recall. We just believe it.
You said the equipment was measuring cognition. What are you actually measuring then when you're measuring people while they're figuring out whether they think this is a true headline, a false headline? What are you looking at going on in their brains?
So what we were looking at and primarily interested in was the 4 seconds before someone clicked to go to the next page within this study. So they would see a headline that was mocked up as it appeared on Facebook with an image and the poster and just the other aspects of social media that we would see. And we'd give them time to read it. And so we didn't want to capture what was going on cognitively while they're reading. We wanted to capture what was going on while they were thinking about it and processing the headline. And so what we did, we actually timed how long they looked at each of these headlines. And then what we did was look at the last 4 seconds before they moved on. And so what we're doing here is looking at whether they think about these headlines differently within subject. So whether when they see this headline that's flagged and it goes along with their confirmation bias, because we could assign whether this went along with their beliefs based on some other questions they asked. And so that's what we were primarily interested in, was given their confirmation bias, do they actually believe this more or less based on their a priori beliefs?
And confirmation bias, remind us what that is, because as you say, you were asking them about their own belief system. Mm-hmm. What is confirmation bias and how does that intersect with all this?
So confirmation bias is our tendency to believe information that aligns with what we already believe. So we already believe something to be true. So if we see something that fits within that world, that schema, then we believe it more. And so we're able to assess whether someone's likely to believe something based on their beliefs on, we ask some questions on conservatism. So based on their beliefs toward fiscal responsibility and abortion and these different items that we could actually match to the headlines.
So what did you find? What were the answers to the 3 questions that you all were looking at?
So in this case, so we were studying undergraduates. So that is a limitation of our study. But what we did find is that they were not able to detect fake news. And the answer to this first question that we asked was, can they detect fake news? And they couldn't. And the way we measured this was looking at how believable, credible, or truthful they thought these headlines were. It was on a 7-point Likert scale where they could say it was very not believable all the way to extremely believable. And if they were in, if they chose any of the 3 items that were on the correct side of that headline, so if the headline was true and they said this is slightly believable, moderately believable, or very believable, we said, good job, you're correct. Likewise, if it was a false headline and they said anything from not very believable, moderately unbelievable, very not believable, then we said, good job, you're correct. But if someone said unsure, then they're wrong, right? And so by measuring it this way, even if someone was just a little bit correct in their assessment, they still were considered that they got that assessment correct. And unfortunately, of all of our 80 subjects, only one, the person who did the best in detecting fake news, got 66% of the headlines correct, which is a D.
And that's only one person out of 80.
That's only one person.
Got a D and everybody else
75%
failed.
Of people did worse than chance. So they did worse than 50%.
Why do you think that was the case?
I think the problem is that a lot of these headlines, as we were talking about earlier, it's not clear. It's not obvious whether it's true or false. And you have to be very aware of what's going on in the world to actually be able to assess this based on a variety of different sources. Because really, you need to assess based on a variety of different sources to truly have a clear assessment of what's true or false. It's just very difficult. It's very difficult to correctly assess news. And I... I like to tell people that it's, you know, it's not just these students that aren't good at this. All of us aren't good at it. And it's because if something aligns with our beliefs, we believe it to be true. And if it doesn't align, then we automatically are inclined to believe it to be false. And so it means that the real truth has very little influence on what we actually believe.
All right. Well, that's frightening.
It is frightening. It is frightening. And sometimes doing this research, I feel very hopeless about how we can deal with this and what we can do with this issue of fake news. But then sometimes, because we have a lot of different research projects that we're working on, some of the results will give me some hope. But in this study was particularly concerning.
So you mentioned the study subjects were undergraduates. Mm-hmm. Is there any sense, though, that we might be better at discerning fake news from real news just by absorbing more news? So in other words, is it possible that 50-year-olds or 80-year-olds might do better simply because they've read more headlines over their lifetimes, they have a little more world experience, and they might do better than chance?
Along with what you just said, they've read a lot more headlines. So does that mean their confirmation bias is stronger? And so are older people more likely to have a stronger confirmation bias and more likely to discount articles that don't align with their worldview? So there's two sides to that. I think sometimes it can make people better at detecting fake news, and sometimes it can make us far worse because we're far more stuck in our own worldview.
So the fake news designations that Facebook will put on some content, you all use those on some of the headlines that you had. Did that have any impact on people's processing of the headlines and how they were able to perform on assessing them?
So we did use Facebook's disputed by third-party fact checkers. That was their little warning message, which truly isn't very strong, but that's what they had used and that's what they debuted and used for a number of months. And what we found is that when this warning message was put on headlines, it did not have a statistically significant influence on people's belief in those headlines. So the flag didn't work as intended. It didn't change people's level of belief in the headlines. And then what it did do, though, was people thought about those headlines longer. And so it seemed like there is some ability for that warning sign to create cognitive dissonance, which means that we're presented with two alternate facts that are contrary, and we have to decide which one's true. So if it's on a headline that they believe to be true based on their confirmation bias, but then it's flagged as false, this is an instance where we could get people into this cognitive dissonant state. What we can see here is that this looks like people did have some cognitive dissonance. They thought about it longer, but it didn't change their actual belief in the headline. And so then this is backed up by the EEG data that we have. And so what we did was we looked at whether the article aligned with someone's confirmation bias and then was flagged as false and whether that changed people's cognition. And what we found was that it did. So when a headline was flagged and it aligned with someone's belief, they did show greater activation in their frontal cortex, which means that it showed that they were thinking a bit more critically about it. But since it didn't actually change their ultimate belief in the headline, it wasn't effective. And what we also found was that headlines that didn't align with people's beliefs, they didn't show this cognition. They didn't show this additional cognition, which leads to the title of the article of, you know, people believe what they want to believe when it makes no sense at all. So really, people just didn't think about the headlines that didn't align with their confirmation bias. And they did think about the headlines that did align with it. And so we pretty much are just ignoring information that we don't like, which is a problem when we're trying to actually think about fake news and think about real news and assess the truth of it. If we're just going to discount all information that doesn't align with our worldview, how are we supposed to do that?
Well, it sounds like not only, at least from the study, do we ignore it, we also discount it if it doesn't line up. Mm-hmm. So we're setting it aside. We're also, though, saying
just not thinking about it. We're really just not thinking about it nearly as much as we're thinking about the information that aligns with our beliefs, which when you can see that some people are saying that the United States is becoming more polarized in our political beliefs. And what you can see is that since social media, their entire motivation is they're financially motivated to keep us online, which means they're trying to keep us happy, which is what ends up creating these echo chambers where we're constantly being shown information that makes us happy or aligns with our beliefs. And so the people who think that America's becoming more polarized, you can see how social media and the issue of fake news and echo chambers is actually creating this issue, which isn't what I've studied here, but you can see that this is why getting news on social media itself is just problematic in the first place. Because so we're in a hedonic mindset, essentially. So we could be in a hedonic mindset or utilitarian. Utilitarian would be, you know, goal-oriented, work-oriented. It's what you're doing when you're at work, and you're more likely to be able to think critically. Whereas a hedonic mindset is this passive pursuit of entertainment. And that's pretty much what we're doing on social media. And if you can think about your use of Facebook, you tend to just be avoiding something else. Or your use of Instagram, you're avoiding something else. You don't want to deal with something, so you're going to scroll. Which means we're not equipped to think critically. We're not equipped to see a headline that does not align with our beliefs and think, huh, maybe that could be true. Or we see something that's aligned with our beliefs and think, you know, that source looks a little suspect, so maybe it's false. We don't do that because we're just really not set up to do that when we're on social media.
That's not the mindset we've brought to social media when we're coming there in the first place.
And it's more complicated by the fact that social media, their whole goal is to keep us online and keep us happy. And that's their financial motivation.
Now, I know you were studying headlines specifically on Facebook, but I'm wondering, given all of that, do you think that we might be better at discerning fake news if we were reading it or if we were consuming it somewhere else? Not that necessarily a printed newspaper is going to have an assortment of fake news and real news headlines, but I guess a better way to ask the question is, what then is the intersection of the fact that it's social media that obviously has an impact on how we're processing all of this?
If we're reading print news or we're reading on an actual news site, depending on how reputable that news site is, we probably won't come across very much fake news. So that's one side of it. Social media doesn't have that journalistic oversight. And so we see a lot more fake news than we would if we were on a reputable news site. And then the other problem is that mindset. So if we're going to get news at an actual news site, we are more in a mindset of intentionally consuming news. Whereas when we're on Facebook, we're avoiding something. We see memes, we see videos of food and kittens, and then you see a political article that one of your friends shared. And so how are you supposed to just rapidly switch mindsets to be able to deal with the complexity of the news you're seeing? You can't. It's a lot harder for us. And so there's two issues clearly, right? One is that on a reputable news site, you're far less likely to run into fake news. And the other part of that is that you're in a different mindset. And so social media there are multiple reasons why it's a bad way to consume news.
Why do you think that we think we're better at detecting fake news than this research shows? Because most of us think, oh, I would know the difference if I saw it. Why are we not as good as we think we are?
Well, I mean, you know, we all believe we're above average in everything, right? All of us believe we're above average, which is impossible. Statistically, that's just not possible. And so when it comes to something about your beliefs, cognitively, it's going to be very hard to convince you that you're wrong, especially when you're fighting with yourself. And so that's why we're so quick to say like, oh, no, I know this is true. And so it's true. It's so much easier for us with our own worldview to accept information that aligns with that is true and believe that we're correct. And that's much more comfortable for us, which is why we all think we're correct while we're viewing these articles.
What do we do with all of this? Your research is showing that we are not very good at detecting fake news headlines and sorting out fake news from real news headlines on Facebook. Our confirmation bias is heavily at play. What do we do with this now?
So I think one of the clear things that we can do is not use social media in any form, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Reddit, whatever. Do not use social media as your primary news source. And this is something that as I've run into more people and I talk about my research, there are people who say, yeah, well, I primarily get my news on social media. And so please don't do that. But if you are seeing news on social media, there are some things you should do. The first thing is when you see news, look at the source. If the source is a source that you know to be reputable, okay, that's a step in the right direction. And then read the headline. If it seems like it's important or influential at all, like if this has an influence in your world, in anyone's world, if this is a big deal, if this is big news, look it up, search for it, and make sure that other news sources are presenting it in a similar way. It's very hard for us to look at something and say, oh, whoa, but is this fake? Instead of that, ask, is this important? And if it's important, go outside of Facebook and verify it. And so first thing, again, don't use social media as your primary news source. If you do see news on social media, check the source. And then if it's important, go outside of Facebook to verify it. And then ideally, get your news outside of social media from a variety of different news sites and understand the bias of the sites that you're on. Even though it's uncomfortable for us to try to read news that might come from a different bias from our own worldview, doing that is going to help you be less susceptible to fake news.
Tricia Morovic is Assistant Professor of Information Management at the McComb School of Business at UT Austin. And Tricia, thanks so much for your time today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.